Imagine you're building like a massive bank vault,
Okay.
and the lead architect tells you that the absolute best way to secure it is to just make the walls out of fewer, thicker, solid materials. Like,
Got it.
rather than installing this sprawling, hyper-complex web of interlocking lasers and, thousands of biometric sensors everywhere.
Right, you'd probably think they were crazy.
Exactly. I mean, we have this deeply ingrained assumption, especially when it comes to technology and the future of artificial intelligence in particular, that bigger and more complex is just inherently better.
Oh, absolutely. The prevailing architecture and the whole industry right now operates on this exact premise. It's like if you want a smarter, more capable system, you simply give it an infinitely larger
More
sandbox.
parameters, infinitely more data.
Yeah, total unbounded freedom. You give it more room to guess, more room to hallucinate, and basically more room to freely associate any random piece of data with any other piece.
Because the belief is just that complexity equals capability. We've built this like wild west of matrix calculations where we just assume constraint is the enemy of
Right,
intelligence.
exactly.
But what if that exact mindset, like the pursuit of unbounded complexity, is actually what's making our modern AI systems fundamentally mathematically vulnerable?
That is the big question.
It is. And today we are opening up a really dense, highly theoretical document for you. It's a piece of source material titled freewillai.txt. And it's this fascinating text that completely bridges the gap between advanced theoretical physics and the foundational architecture of AI.
It's a really heavy read, but the implications are massive.
Huge. So our mission today is to unpack this groundbreaking alternative to standard AI. We're looking at a radical shift away from the standard discrete matrix calculations that power literally everything today, and we're diving into the world of continuous ODE systems.
Right, ordinary differential equations.
Exactly. Specifically, we're going to explore how an AI's memory structure physically dictates its security. Like, we're going to analyze the direct connection between ODE systems, memory storage, and how restricting an AI's ability to extrapolate, like, guess outside its bounds, is actually its ultimate defense mechanism.
Yeah, why bounded extrapolation increases safety? It's a total paradigm shift.
Okay, so let's unpack this. We need to start by defining the fundamental difference in the math here, because the text argues that current AI is trapped in what it calls the matrix regime.
Right, so the matrix regime operates in a state that the document refers to as point locked.
Point locked, okay.
Yeah, standard neural networks, they process information in these highly discrete, isolated step-by-step calculations. So at any given millisecond, the AI's next state relies entirely on its current state and, whatever immediate raw input you just handed it.
Okay, so it runs the calculation, it moves to the next discrete point in the matrix, and
And the previous points are, for all structural purposes, just gone. The system possesses no continuous memory. There's no physical momentum of the entire history leading up to that exact moment.
I see. It's like it's leaping from stepping stone across a river, right?
That's a good world to picture.
It's entirely focused on where its foot lands next,
Yeah.
completely forgetting how it actually got to the middle of the river in the first place.
Exactly. And that lack of historical momentum makes standard AI highly vulnerable to manipulation.
Because it's so short-sighted.
Right, because every operation is purely local in time. It's just that one foot landing on that one stone. So an attacker, they only have to manipulate the system at one specific vulnerable point to hijack its next step.
Wow.
If you introduce a corrupted input right at that exact millisecond, the AI has no underlying physical structure anchoring it to reality. It accepts the corrupted point and steps right onto a dangerous new path.
Okay, so contrast that with the ODE regime, which the text describes as path-locked. How does introducing an ordinary differential equation change that whole stepping stone dynamic?
Well, this is where the physics fundamentally alters the architecture. An ODE system does not jump between discrete, isolated points.
Okay.
Its state at any given moment relies mathematically on the entire unbroken history of its inputs.
Wait, the entire history.
Yes, that continuous history is governed by what the text calls a continuous flow operator.
A continuous flow operator. Let's make sure we ground that for you listening. Are we talking about something akin to physical momentum, like the arc of a baseball thrown through the air?
That is a very, very accurate way to think about it. The flow operator works like gravity and momentum acting together on that baseball. The ball's position at any given millisecond isn't an isolated event, right? It is strictly dictated by the unbroken arc of its entire journey from the pitcher's hand. It's a single continuous trajectory.
Let me try a different analogy for you to really visualize this difference. The standard matrix AI is essentially like flipping through a massive photo album.
Okay, yeah.
You can take the pictures out, rearrange them however you want, and any single photo of a tree doesn't inherently rely on the photo of a car that came before it.
Right, they're disconnected.
But the ODE AI is like a continuous, unedited video recording of a ball rolling down a hill. It has momentum. It has a strict sequence of physics. You can't just like splice a random frame of a spaceship into the middle of that video without completely breaking the continuous physics of the scene.
Exactly. The continuous video has structural integrity. The loose photos lack that entirely.
But wait, if the ODE system has to carry all this continuous history with it at all times, like if it's constantly dragging this massive high-resolution video file of its entire past around just to calculate the next frame, doesn't that make the system wildly complicated?
You would think so, right?
Yeah, I would think that would require a supercomputer just to function.
Well, what's fascinating here is that the mathematical reality is the exact opposite. The ODE system is structurally vastly simpler than the matrix.
Wait, simpler? How?
Because the system is rigidly locked to that continuous flow, it naturally discards the billions of arbitrary random directions that a matrix would constantly be evaluating.
Oh, I see.
If a new input, say, a prompt from a user, does not physically align with the continuous momentum of the established trajectory, the ODE literally cannot process it as a valid path.
It just rejects it.
Yeah, it dramatically reduces the infinite chaotic possibilities of the matrix down to only the causally supported paths.
So the continuous history isn't baggage. The history is actually a guardrail.
Exactly. It forces the system to behave coherently, and that introduces the core theorem of the source text.
Which is?
Path-locked security is infinitely superior to point-locked vulnerability. The document explains that ODE systems are strictly governed by something called a Lipschitz envelope.
A Lipschitz envelope. Okay, that sounds like something you'd find in a dusty drawer at a mathematician's desk.
Yeah, it's a very technical term.
Let's break down exactly how this acts as a guardrail. How does bounded extrapolation actually increase safety here?
Sure. So in differential equations, a Lipschitz envelope is fundamentally a mathematical speed limit.
A speed limit, okay.
It is a strict, unbreakable ceiling on how rapidly a function can change its trajectory. So in the context of an AI architecture, it acts as a physical cap on how far the AI can extrapolate or, you know, jump from its current state in a single moment.
I see.
It mathematically prevents the system from making wild, out-of-bounds guesses because the envelope dictates that any change in output must be strictly proportional to the change in input.
Okay, and standard matrix systems, like the ones we interact with every day, they do not have this mathematical ceiling.
No, not at all. Matrix systems operate with unbounded extrapolation. Because they are just blindly multiplying discrete points of data, they suffer from a phenomenon known in chaos theory as unbounded Lyapunov growth.
Hold on. Lyapunov growth, that's essentially the butterfly effect, right?
Yes, exactly.
Where a tiny, seemingly insignificant change in a system spirals exponentially until the system completely loses its mind.
That is precisely the mechanism. In a discrete matrix system, if a malicious actor introduces a microscopic adversarial attack, like, imagine slightly altering a few invisible pixels in an image, or slipping a hidden character into a text prompt.
Right.
That error is not capped by a Lipschitz envelope. The system takes that tiny corrupted point and multiplies it forward. The error grows exponentially at every single step of the calculation.
Oh, wow. So it just balloons out of control.
Exactly. Within a few layers, the AI's outputs swing wildly out of control. It starts generating hallucinations or executing malicious code. The larger the neural network gets, the more that attack surface scales unboundedly.
Wow. If you were a developer building an application on top of an AI, your absolute biggest nightmare is a user tricking your bot into losing its mind and leaking sensitive data.
Absolutely.
But because of this Lipschitz envelope, the ODE system physically cannot be forced into an extreme unintended state. The hacker is trying to introduce a massive deviation, but the ODE's math essentially acts like a physical law that says, no, we cannot jump that far from our continuous history.
Right. The attack surface is permanently capped. The text actually compares this dynamic to a cryptographic one-time pad.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, to someone unfamiliar with encryption, a one-time pad, which is just a physical key the exact same length as your message, used only once. It seems almost too simple. It doesn't look like a complex cipher.
Right, it seems basic.
But it is deeply mathematically unbreakable because it restricts the possible decryption subspace so completely that there are zero patterns for an attacker to exploit.
That makes so much sense.
The ODE system structurally refuses to generalize or extrapolate beyond what its continuous memory can causally support. The simplicity of the boundary itself becomes the ultimate security.
The boundary is the defense. That makes complete sense. But here's where my skepticism kicks in.
Okay, let's hear it.
If this AI is locked into this rigid continuous path and it mathematically refuses to jump out of bounds, how does it actually learn or remember anything new? Like, if I ask it a complex question, doesn't it need to pull from a massive generalized timeline of data to give me an answer?
Well, that requires looking at how the text redefines memory entirely. It introduces a paradigm called causal set memory.
Causal set memory.
Yeah. Standard AI relies on sequence memory. It attempts to place every single piece of data it absorbs into a total, absolute, universal order. It constantly tries to guess what happens next based on that massive, bloated sequence.
Right.
But the text argues that sequence memory inherently leaks information.
Because if the AI is constantly trying to guess the absolute, universal order of everything, it is always blindly reaching for data that might not be relevant to my prompt, or worse, pulling in private data from another user that shouldn't be connected to my query at all.
Exactly. Causal set memory fundamentally alters this behavior. It stores episodic memory strictly as partial orders.
Partial orders. How does that function mechanically?
Let's look at it. It only links two events if they have a direct, verifiable cause and effect relationship.
Okay.
If event A directly caused event B, they're rigidly linked in the memory structure. But if event C happened on the other side of the world and has absolutely no physical or logical causal link to A or B, the system does not try to bridge them. They remain unlinked islands.
So it isn't trying to build one monolithic universal timeline of all human knowledge. It is building millions of highly specific islands of causality.
Yes. And this creates a massive structural privacy guarantee.
Wow.
Because the system inherently refuses to extrapolate outside of its established causal scope, you physically cannot query it for information. It cannot causally connect to your present prompt.
I really like this concept. It makes me think of a witness taking the stand in a high-stakes trial.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Right. A truly reliable witness can only physically speak to exactly what they saw in that moment.
Yeah.
I saw the blue car run the red light. If the opposing lawyer starts grilling them about the driver's childhood trauma or a political scandal on the news, the witness just says, I have no idea, I wasn't there.
Right.
That is causal set memory. A matrix AI, however, is like a terrible, highly anxious witness who desperately wants to please the lawyer. It gets confused and starts inventing the rest of a massive conspiracy theory based on fragmented things it heard on the internet, desperately trying to connect unrelated data points.
That is exactly what hallucinations are.
By forcing the AI to only walk along strict causal arrows, you eliminate the hallucination. You cannot hack the AI to reveal private data if that private data isn't causally linked to your specific prompt.
The system simply returns a null result. To jump the gap and invent a connection would physically violate the differential equation driving it.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The text actually condenses all of these philosophical and physical concepts into a single elegant formula for AI safety.
Oh, the security index formula.
Yeah, yeah. Memory richness multiplied by constraint compactness equals the security index. Let's unpack the mechanics of that equation.
It serves as a perfect synthesis of the entire architecture. Mm-hmm. Memory richness refers to how much continuous causal history your system holds.
Right.
And constraint compactness is how tightly you bound the extrapolation, how strictly you enforce that Lipschitz envelope.
Okay, so they multiply together.
Yeah. If you have incredibly high memory richness but terrible compactness, which is exactly what a massive standard large language model is today, you are incredibly vulnerable.
You have a massive surface area with no defenses.
Exactly. But if you have high memory richness and high constraint compactness, like our ODE system, you achieve a massive security index.
And if you have low memory and high compactness, you essentially just have a very secure brick.
Right. It won't get hacked, but it also won't do anything useful.
You need both to reach that optimal upper right quadrant of capability and safety. But let's look at a practical threat model here. The math says the ODE is secure against clever, subtle manipulation. But hackers don't always try to outsmart the math. Sometimes they just flood the system with pure garbage until it crashes.
Like a DDoS attack.
Yeah. How does an ODE handle a brute force junk attack? because the source text brings up a fascinating Swedish concept for this. Värdelöst vetande.
Värdelöst vetande. It roughly translates to worthless knowledge or like disconnected trivia.
Right.
It is data that carries absolute zero semantic load or structural meaning, and it introduces a profound fatal vulnerability in standard matrix AI.
How so?
Well, because a matrix AI merely counts discrete point tokens, pixels, whatever raw data you feed it, it can be entirely saturated and paralyzed by junk data. The text actually borrows a concept from black hole physics called the Bekenstein bound.
Wait, the Bekenstein bound, that's the absolute maximum amount of quantum information that can be physically contained within a given region of space, right?
Yes, exactly. A standard matrix AI can reach a digital equivalent of a Bekenstein bound of junk. If an attacker feeds it billions of parameters of internet trivia, automated spam, and worthless knowledge, the matrix just fills up its discrete slots. Its computational capacity hardens. It reaches absolute capacity before it ever learns any genuine real-world physics or causal logic.
It gets so bloated with Wikipedia trivia and Reddit arguments that it becomes a black hole of worthless knowledge. Mm. It literally runs out of physical memory space to understand causality.
Exactly.
So an attacker could just flood an open-ended AI with Värdelöst vetande until it becomes brittle and useless. But the ODE system survives this brute force saturation.
Yeah.
How? What is the actual mechanism?
It survives purely because of the physical nature of continuous trajectories.
Yep.
Junk data, by its very definition, is punk tape.
Punk tape, meaning?
It exists in isolated, chaotic, discrete points. It has no causal history and no logical follow-through. ODEs, however, require continuous structural laws to update their internal state.
Okay.
A continuous trajectory naturally swallows and ignores isolated punk tape points because a single chaotic data point cannot alter the momentum of a continuous flow operator.
So if I try to throw a piece of worthless spam into the ODE's continuous video feed, the system essentially evaluates it, says, this point of data does not possess the required causal momentum to match the physics of our trajectory, and just discards it.
Precisely. The trajectory demands semantic coherence to register as a valid update. It functions as an innate structural filter. The junk contributes zero mathematical curvature to the AI's path, so the path just sails right through the noise unaffected.
That is brilliant. And it directly leads to what is arguably the most massive practical payoff in this entire document.
Oh, the hardware efficiency.
Yes.
Yeah.
A payoff that anyone tracking the brutal economics of the tech industry will definitely care about. All this advanced theoretical physics, this talk of flow operators, Lipschitz envelopes, and causal sets actually solves the single biggest bottleneck in artificial intelligence right now. Extreme computing power and memory costs.
The hardware implications laid out in the text are just staggering.
Tell me about it.
Because the ODE system is fundamentally immune to junk data, and because it inherently discards billions of arbitrary matrix connections, it requires vastly less memory to function. The text outlines a specific physical architecture utilizing ODE-form memory combined with what are known as spinorial couplings.
Spinorial couplings. Okay, we cannot just drop that term and keep moving. What does a spinorial coupling look like in practice?
Right, sorry. Think of it as a specialized type of continuous layer connection within the AI's brain. Instead of thousands of static wires connecting different nodes, imagine a complex machine folded up like intricate origami.
Origami, okay.
The spinorial couplings are like tension springs that maintain the path-locked momentum, keeping the entire continuous structure tightly bound to itself on a compact manifold.
So it's a way of physically folding the math so it takes up vastly less physical space on a computer chip without losing any of its complex functionality.
Exactly. By utilizing these tension continuous connections, the system achieves massive effective dimension reduction. You are no longer wasting expensive memory storing every possible arbitrary connection between every random word.
Right.
You are strictly storing the continuous causal rules of the trajectory itself.
And the actual hardware statistics quoted in the source material are mind-blowing. Like a standard 7 billion parameter AI model, which today demands roughly 30 gigabytes of highly expensive VRAM just to run,
yeah,
could theoretically be compressed down to just 1.5 gigabytes using this ODE architecture.
A 20-fold reduction in physical memory requirements. You could comfortably run a frontier-level, highly capable intelligence entirely locally on a standard consumer laptop or even a smartphone without ever needing to ping a massive multi-billion dollar server farm.
Wait, hold on. A 20-fold reduction in memory.
Yeah.
That sounds exactly like venture capital vaporware. Like if you can really just compress a massive, power-hungry model down to run on a smartphone with a few continuous physics tricks, why isn't every major tech company on Earth already doing this?
Yeah.
What is the actual trade-off here that's stopping Google or OpenAI from pivoting tomorrow?
Well, the trade-off is paradigm lock-in.
Okay.
To achieve this efficiency, you have to entirely abandon the matrix regime. You have to throw away decades of infrastructure, training methods, and hardware optimization that have been exclusively built around discrete, unbounded matrices.
Oh, so it's a sunk cost fallacy on a trillion-dollar scale.
Exactly. The current scaling laws in Silicon Valley demand exponential brute force increases in raw data and energy consumption to achieve only marginal gains in intelligence. The text reveals that this entire arms race is actually a symptom of the flawed matrix architecture. We are burning raw compute to mathematically compensate for a total lack of underlying structure.
We're throwing endless brute force at a problem that requires structural elegance.
The realization the text pushes is that genuine structure is the algorithm's actual compression. Junk data is its expansion. When you build the physics of causality in continuous time directly into the foundation of the AI, the intelligence naturally compresses itself into a highly efficient, highly secure footprint.
It is an incredibly elegant solution.
Yeah.
So what does this all mean for you listening? Let's trace the full arc of what we've unpacked today.
Let's do it.
We've looked at a compelling physics-based argument for treating AI not as a discrete step-by-step matrix, but as a continuous path-locked ODE system. We've seen how shifting the underlying math fundamentally alters the safety of the technology. By relying on a continuous memory that strictly enforces a Lipschitz envelope, a bounded extrapolation, we mathematically prevent the system from wild hacker-induced hallucinations. We protect its privacy by forcing it to rely exclusively on causal set partial orders, refusing to invent connections beyond its rigid scope. We make it immune to the Vrtuluftvatanda, the worthless junk data that saturates and paralyzes modern models. And as a direct result of all that rigorous structural discipline, we can shrink its computational footprint by up to 20 times, freeing it from massive server farms.
It really serves as a blueprint for an artificial intelligence that can actually survive and operate securely in the continuous physical world. It replaces unbounded, fragile freedom with structured causal memory.
Which leaves us with a final, rather profound philosophical question to mull over, inspired by the document.
Yeah, this part is really interesting.
The source text argues that possessing this continuous bounded trajectory is what gives a system genuine free will, the structural ability to make meaningful choices without simply being a slave to random, discrete junk data. It is what allows an entity to survive in an ODE-dominant physical universe. If artificial minds require this strict, constrained, continuous path to remain secure and sane, what does that say about human memory? Think about how your own brain filters out the Vrtuluftvatanda, the worthless knowledge of your daily life.
Yeah, we're drowning in it.
You're constantly bombarded by fragmented trivia, disconnected social media posts, and chaotic data points. If we unbind our own memories from strict causality, if we lose the continuous narrative thread of our own lies in a sea of punctate junk, do we lose our own internal security?
I mean, if the mathematics of the ODE regime hold true across systems, a mind without a continuous causal path anchoring it to reality is a mind just waiting to be overwritten by the noise.
Something to think about the next time you find yourself doom-scrolling through a feed of disconnected points. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the structures of the information you consume, and we will see you next time.